CityTalk 105.9 official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. CityTalk 105.9.
Hello and welcome to City Talk's Business with me, Frank McKenna. I'm the chairman of the Independent Private Sector Lobby Group and Business Networking Club Downtown Liverpool in Business. And every Sunday we look at some of the week's big business stories affecting Liverpool and the wider Northwest region. The Global Entrepreneurship Congress comes to Liverpool in March. And this morning I'm focusing on this major event, what it means for our city and how you can get involved. Joining me in the studio, I have Councillor Nick Small, who is the Cabinet Member on Liverpool City Council, responsible for employment, training and skills, and the Principal of Liverpool Community College, Elaine Bowker. Joining me on the phone now, though, is the Chief Executive of Liverpool Vision, Max Steinberg. Well, Max, on Wednesday morning, we had a presentation from you and your colleagues about the GEC and some of the highlights. What's going to happen in that week during March? Can you just give our listeners a little bit of a flavour of what is going to be happening?
We were delighted to announce earlier in the week, Frank, that Sir Richard Branson will now be backing Liverpool's mission to be a world capital for entrepreneurship, and we were able to announce that he will be one of the headline speakers at the Global Entrepreneurship Congress, which takes place in March. Now, he's going to be joined at the Arena and Convention Centre by other fantastic figures from business, Tesco's former Chief Executive Officer, Sir Terry Leahy, the UK digital champion and founder of lastminute.com, Martha Lane Fox, Lord Michael Heseltine, former Deputy Prime Minister, founder of Haymot Publishing and a great friend to the city, as I know you're aware. And then other participants will be Paul Lindley of Ella's Kitchen, who recently won the Entrepreneur of the Year Award at the Orange National Business Awards. Doug Richard, founder of the School for Startups. And we're also very pleased that Steve Felice, the US President of Consumer and Small Business at Dell, will also be there. So it's going to be a fantastic Congress and a lot of wonderful speakers.
It's a pretty stellar lineup, Max. And I know that obviously the event will take place over at the conference centre there. But before we get into the meat of what's going to be happening at the convention centre, there are ways in which businesses from right across the city are involved in this, aren't there, through the fringe events that are being organised?
Yeah. So over this weekend, we're at 40-plus fringe events across the city, some taking place in the north of the city, some in the universities. There's one I know at the Eldonian community, some in South Liverpool. So we've been approached by a wide range of organisations about fringe events. And as I think I said earlier in the week, we've been saying yes to almost everybody. We want to know what the event is, the fringe event is. But if it will support the drive to create more business in the city, inspire people who want to accelerate their business, give entrepreneurs that next step on their journey, then we're keen to support that. So, there's going to be a very major series of fringe events. On top of that, we're bringing something called the Your Big Year Celebration, which Chris Arnold, who's a major Liverpool entrepreneur, bringing to the city. He's had 60,000 entrants across the globe for this competition. He's bringing 16 young people to the city. That their prize, as it was last year, will be a tour around the world for two winners to meet world leaders. We're bringing a Software City event to celebrate creative and digital. There's activities all over the city for that week, and it's going to be Liverpool's going to be very much in the focus of the business community and the business world. In fact, I was talking to the president of the Coffin Foundation when he was up earlier last week, and he was saying to me, rather like people have been referring to the climate summit as Rio, people in the business community and the entrepreneurship community are now increasingly just referring to Liverpool as being the sort of centre for this kind of activity. So it's great for the city to have that kind of reputation.
Yeah, I was at the event on Wednesday morning, and the Kaufman Foundation seemed genuinely enthused and pleased that Liverpool is hosting this superb event, don't they? They're really getting behind the city.
They are. This is their second visit since we won the honour to host the event last March. Jonathan Ortland, who's the president of the Kauffman Foundation, the chairman of the GEC as well, said to me that it's been in Kansas City, it's been in Dubai, it's been in Shanghai. he said this is the most extensive and far-reaching program for all of the congresses they've had over the last 4 years he's ever seen. And I think the city's reputation, and I've heard on your program over the last few months with people like Nick and Elaine and others, that people have discussed Liverpool's ability to sell and its potential around the world. Well, here we've got two leading Americans saying, you know, this city is a city they want to be at. They're delighted to be here. I think they're very pleased at the welcome they've had from people like Joe Anderson. They went to see Joe on Tuesday afternoon last week, had a very positive meeting with Joe. So it's all looking very positive. Somebody asked me how I'd describe it. It's slightly organised chaos because there's so many events, 3,000 delegates at the arena, events all over the city. It's going to have to be managed, but we don't want to manage it too strongly because we want ideas to emerge. There's an event, Frank, over 52 hours called Start at Weekend, where people from different walks of life get together, leave their discipline at the door, their job, their activity at the door, talk about businesses. And these activities where these people get together have in the past created 3 or 4 new businesses. So we're hopeful in Liverpool in March we'll be creating 3 or 4 new businesses as a result of the Congress.
Fantastic. And you mentioned that you're interested in businesses getting involved. I also know that there's been a strong emphasis in school participation. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, through Gary Miller's leadership on this, from this councillor Gary Miller from the Liverpool City Council, again, very much with the blessing of Joe Anderson, I know Nick Small's been a strong supporter as well, and Jane Corbett, we invited all 169 schools in the city to participate in a global entrepreneurship competition to come up with the most enterprising ideas. They've gone through a number of stages. I think we had 64 entries. We're now down to the last 20. We're at the sort of semi-final stage. We've got 10 primary schools and 10 secondary schools whose ideas have been recognised by the judging panels. We'll be selecting a few of each of those to go to the arena to pitch their final ideas, and the winners, both the primary school and secondary school, will be taken on a trip to Washington to the Kauffman Foundation to meet the Kauffman people in America, and they'll have a wonderful time there, and it's a wonderful prize. But what it's done, some of the ideas that have come forward from some of the schools, some of the fundraising that's come about, some of the ability of the schools to come up with new enterprising ideas has been absolutely wonderful. And I think a head teacher, I know, wrote to Councillor Miller and said that in their particular school, this has unleashed a whole new generation of thinking and new ideas. And some schools have even been talking about changing their curriculum to increasingly embrace entrepreneurialism as part of what their curriculum is about. So that's a real part of the legacy we want to create from this Congress.
I think that's, you know, could potentially be the biggest legacy that comes out of this particular event. But I also think, as you said there, Max, that this international image and the ability of Liverpool to sell itself internationally, this really does help us build on the momentum that we've had since 2008 in Capital of Culture. When you talk about people like Branson, Leahy, Heza, Martha Lane Fox coming along to the Congress, what are they actually going to be doing at the event? Is it keynote speeches? Are they going to be available for people to engage with them in terms of Q&As and that sort of thing, or is that detail not set yet?
No, the agenda will be some speeches. I think Richard Branson prefers a question and answer session, so we've arranged for an interviewer to actually talk to him on the stage with a whole series of questions. I think his session is going to be called Who Dares Wins, Screw It, Let's Do It, which is one of his famous phrases.
I thought that was one of your famous phrases, Max.
I couldn't possibly comment on that. So Terry Leahy is going to talk about the winner within the mindset of success, how somebody, you know, a Liverpool lad has actually, you know, gone to the top of one of the world's greatest businesses. Martha Lane Fox will be talking about daring to dream. You know, she had a dream about shopping online. She actually achieved that dream.
It's lastminute.com, isn't it?
Lastminute.com, yep. Sorry, yes. Yep. And what we're going to do at the end of the morning is get these people together also and take questions from the audience. But from what my understanding is, they're not just going to come and go. These people are going to be around, certainly on Tuesday the 13th of March. They want to attend some of the fringe events. I think Richard Branson wants to get involved in other activities in the city. So I think it's going to be not a talking heads day where people are going to be talked out, but people are going to be able to participate in a whole series of events. There's going to be some Dragon's Den style activity, some Q&A. So a real mix of events to keep people, I think, glued to their seats for what should be a fantastic day. And
we were told on Wednesday morning as well there's probably going to be representatives from around 140 countries in attendance.
140 countries. As far as I know, from as we saw the closed business on Friday, we've probably got ministerial delegations coming in from at least half a dozen to 10 countries. So I think with the Financial Times as a media partner, the BBC are taking a strong interest. It's just a chance again for Liverpool to be in the spotlight, as it should be for, I mean, you know, looking at this city, I sit in my office sometimes, look out at the scene, and you remember that this city, its DNA was entrepreneurialism, was enterprise. That's what made the city great. I think if we can unleash that talent again, unleash that will to win, unleash that creativity, then all of us have got a role to play in developing this city, will benefit from what will be the new set of jobs, the new set of small and medium enterprises that will create the economy that takes this city forward into the future.
Mm. What feel are you getting, Max, from our national government? Because obviously HES is coming along again. We're told the business secretary, Mark Prisk, is likely to make an appearance during the week. The Conservative government or the coalition government happy that Liverpool have secured this Congress? Because, you know, there is a little bit of tension between the government and our city on occasion, isn't there?
I think on this one, we've been fully backed by the government. I mean, they're certainly very much aware of our bid. I remember there's a quote from David Cameron recently, something like, it'll be the doers and the grafters, the inventors and the entrepreneurs who get this country going. So I'm hoping that, I was very pleased that Mark Prisk is coming, delighted that the Minister for Business is coming, but I understand it's quite likely we'll have possibly another very senior minister in town as well. The Department of Business, we had a launch of this event, of the programme in the Department of Business last Monday, attended by about 100 people. Again, that was very successful. I'm off to see some officials at the Department of Business in early February about how they can play their part in this. So I think the government are swinging behind this, because although this is very much for us, for me, a Liverpool event, for Nick Small, for Gary Miller, for Joe Anderson, and indeed for Elaine, because the Community College are a major partner for us in this venture, it's a global event based in Liverpool. So I think the government should be on board, and I think they are on board. And I think, as I say, you'll see one or two other ministers in the city that week. So I think the government will play its part.
Great. And before I let you go, Max, can you just tell us what's happening with that other great initiative that Liverpool Vision led, the London Embassy or Liverpool Embassy in London? Because I know that that's something that that is still operating and still proving successful.
Well, it continues to be very busy. I mean, I was talking to the team a couple of weeks ago. In the lead-up to Christmas, it was very busy with a whole series of meetings. We've had some investors there from different countries. We've had businesses in Liverpool asking to use it as a sort of front office with places to have business. There's a possibility of a major event linked to the mayoralty in London having an event there in the not-too-distant future. So it's still doing very well. We're planning, I mean, you've put me on the spot here slightly, but I'll tell you, we're planning a series of events over the spring and spring leading to the Olympics about how we could use the Olympics in London to showcase what the city's got through the portal of our embassy in London, because we think there'll be an opportunity to get some people who might not just make the journey up to Liverpool but might make the journey across London to our embassy to come and see about, you know, the sporting city we have here. Mm-hmm. So we're continuing to find ways to use that space to the best opportunity to sell the city. And the reaction we keep getting when people come through that door, as they do just through the city as well, is we didn't know what Liverpool had to offer. You know, if we'd have known what Liverpool had to offer, we might have been up there sooner. And we've got to keep on. It's a long and sometimes it's a repetitive job about selling this city, selling the opportunities and getting across the message that the city you and I know so well has changed, continues to change for the better, is a city, as Joe Anderson says, where business wants to be done and can be done. But we've got to keep banging that message across, because we've got a sort of press from time to time or a series of commentators in the South who seem to want to think Liverpool's still rooted in its 20-year-old history, 30-year-old history, rather than where the reality is today.
Well, we'll get there, Max.
We will.
We will get there. And thanks for joining us this morning. We look forward to hearing more about the GEC as we get nearer March. But it's great news that Richard Branson, Leahy, Martha Lane Fox, Hez and more besides are going to be there on the 13th of March. Max, thanks very much, and we'll see you soon.
Good to talk to you, Frank. All the very best. Take care.
Cheers. That was Max Steinberg, the Chief Executive of Liverpool Vision. After this short break, I'm going to be talking to Elaine Bowker from Liverpool Community College and Liverpool City Councillor Nick Small. Stay with us.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. City Talk 105.9.
And welcome back to the programme. I'm joined in the studio today by Councillor Nick Small, who's the Cabinet Member on Liverpool City Council for Employment, Training and Skills, and the Principal of Liverpool Community College, Elaine Bowker. I've just been having a chat to Max Steinberg about the Global Entrepreneurship Congress. And we were all there on Wednesday morning. Elaine, you, as a partner in this super event, were you pleased with what you heard?
Delighted. I think it's really exciting. And the primary reason why we decided to get involved is for our students. More and more of our students now see self-employment as the way forward. Clearly, lots of them will still go into jobs and will go on to university, but self-employment is really attractive and it's the way we're going to grow our economy. So we've got to support them because the young people, and not just actually young people, a lot of our adults as well who return to us and get really good skills and qualifications, they want to go into self-employment. They've got great ideas and they need nurturing and supporting. So it's the legacy for me that this will leave behind. I don't think it's just the week and the day, which will be fantastic. I think it'll get a real buzz and it'll showcase Liverpool for the great city it is. But for me, it's the legacy. And our students really getting serious about enterprise and entrepreneurship.
I thought Wednesday morning that the guys who presented what was going to be happening, you left the arena feeling quite uplifted, but you were saying you were at a dinner on Tuesday night and that was really inspirational as well.
It was, because it was the opportunity with a relatively small group to spend some time with the people from the States, from the Kauffman Institute, and it was just so good to hear them. You did feel like you was amongst people who could really make a difference. And I think if our students get exposed to that, they'll get excited about what's possible, their ideas. And I think the other aspect as well, which hit me more than anything else, was how in the States it's okay to fail. In fact, you know, I don't think you can be a member of the Kauffman Institute unless you've failed. And we just don't have that culture in the UK at all. And I think it's trying to encourage students that actually it might be all right. Having ideas is the most important thing. They might not all come to fruition, but if you don't have the ideas, you don't have the support. So bringing these great entrepreneurs that we've got in this city and from other cities to Liverpool, and for our students to be amongst them, will be a catalyst for change. And I think, you know, if we can then become the city of innovation, because I do believe that's in the spirit of this city.
Another interesting comment that was made on Wednesday morning from Chris Arnold, actually, was the fact that what he found as a local Liverpool entrepreneur was an entrepreneurial council, a local authority that were actually happy to back something that, let's face it, you know, in the environment that you're operating in at the moment, we've not got bags of money to throw around. To bring something like this to Liverpool, a little bit of a risk, some might say, but I would say visionary, and ticks an awful lot of the boxes that we need to if we are firstly going to rebalance our economy in the way that we have to over the next 10 years or so, and secondly, as Elaine has absolutely rightly said, start to inspire our young people to become the business people of tomorrow.
Well, when we took control of the council 18 months ago now, the first thing that Joe Anderson said is he wanted to open Liverpool up to business, and for all of those reasons that you've just outlined. December 2010 now, Chris Arnold actually brought this idea to me. It was, you know, Chris was involved with Kauffman through Global Entrepreneurship Week around whether Liverpool could bid to that. We took the idea to Joe, who said, yeah, go for it. And January last year, I was in Washington with Mike Taylor and Chris, and we were putting the bid together. We were invited to bid for it. We put a fantastic bid, and we got it. And I think it shows how, you know, as a council, as a city, we can be entrepreneurial, we can be risk takers around this. I think the opportunity that we've got, you know, I think one of the speakers there to last week was saying around, you know, the way that, you know, Rio is synonymous with climate change in thought leadership, Liverpool should be synonymous with entrepreneurship. We've got a massive opportunity, I think, to up our game, to show that ambition on a world stage in March.
And a bit of a coup, really, isn't it? Richard Branson coming along to speak at the event. Are you looking forward to hearing him?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, he's got a long history with Liverpool. He's done a lot of work in Liverpool. And, you know, we want people like Richard Branson and some of the other speakers that we've got, you know, being part of this to show, you know, this really is an international event. This has the opportunity, you know, the possibility to be, you know, as big as Capital of Culture, and bigger than Capital of Culture for the City of Liverpool in terms of driving forward our agenda.
Mm. And Elaine, when you say that, you know, you're looking for this almost to act as an inspiration, a springboard for some of the students to say, hey, yeah, you know what, self-employment, start my own business might be there for me. Are they going to be exposed to some of the conference during those couple of days? Are they going to have the opportunity to get involved as well?
Yeah, I mean, as part of our sponsorship package, many of our students will be able to be there at the conference. But I think more importantly, we are organising events like the schools are with our own students, where they're coming up with their own ideas. And then it's the support and the mentorship and the exposure to other entrepreneurs and the opportunity to come and assess and give them feedback and maybe invest in some of their ideas, because I think that would, you know, make a real difference. We're hoping we might be able to get some of that happening. They've got some fantastic ideas. We're also going to be involved in some of the fringe events as well, with in particular around social enterprise, because a lot of our students are interested in that. But some of the faculties actually lend themselves better to self-employment. So a lot of our students who leave us in the arts faculty, creative and media, many of them are taught by people who have run their own businesses or are self-employed. It's the same in some areas of construction as well. So it just lends itself so beautifully. And education's not had a fantastic tradition at preparing its young people and its adults around the path of self-employment. It's got traditional. You know, it's good at preparing them in terms of qualifications, next level, even into jobs and into universities. But we've got to be equally as good, because I think everybody realises that actually the future is entrepreneurs in the going forward. It'll be those small businesses that grow, and that will take Liverpool forward in terms of its economic growth. And our young people really want to be part of that.
Mm. And Jonathan Ortons was saying, wasn't he, on Wednesday morning from the Kaufman Foundation, that job creation, growth, economic growth really comes from the smaller businesses. Yeah. And actually it's the businesses between 1 and 5 years old that we see really as the drivers for our economy. And there was a great graphic that he used that basically showed that the bigger the company, you know, these huge conglomerates that are all over the world, but actually what they're looking to do is shed staff and improve productivity, where new startups, they're the people who are employing. And that's what we need. We need more startups in Liverpool, don't we, Nick?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at, you know, the other local enterprise partnerships across the country, if you look at, I think, the Enterprise M3, which is in Surrey and Berkshire, has about 54 active businesses per 1,000 population. In Liverpool, it's about half that number. So we absolutely need to increase business density in Liverpool. But I think there were two really key things that came out of today. The first was this issue around job creation. In the United States, over the last 10 years, all net new job growth came from new startup businesses. The same thing is happening in the UK. We will innovate our way out of the recession. We will innovate our way into economic growth. The second issue is around the role of cities on that. The canvas for this isn't national policy, it isn't regional policy, it's cities. So it's what we can do in Liverpool. We are ahead of the game on this in European terms. We're actually bringing a European conference to Liverpool as part of Global Entrepreneurship Congress. But we and the work that I've been doing with other European cities it shows that what we're already doing at the moment, let alone what we want to do in the next few years, we're head and shoulders above other European cities. We can drive this agenda in European terms, in UK terms, and it's absolutely right for Liverpool that we do that.
Mm. And if it is about startups and encouraging people to start their own businesses, what you were saying, Elaine, is even more relevant. How easy is it, though, for educational institutions to bend the curriculum so that the curriculum, perhaps, and what you offer is more relevant to the wider economy? Because I often feel that schools, to a lesser extent, I suppose, further education institutions, but all of you, really, are in a little bit of a straitjacket because there's certain boxes you just got to tick.
I think we're in much less of a straitjacket than we often admit to, and I think it's an excuse, personally. I don't think we have got a straitjacket, nor in further education. Yes, there's aspects of the curriculum we've got to deliver, but mainly because that curriculum is relevant. But we've got lots of space to do other things, so, you know, if we don't deliver on this agenda, it's down to us. It's actually not down to anything else, and I can't use any excuses. It's really up to us to inspire our young people. And I would put a plea out there to entrepreneurs to come and help us do that. I don't think it's about cash a lot of the time. It's not that they need lots of cash. It's the fact that they need inspiration and mindset and the right mindset around them. And education in the past has not always got a fantastic track record around inspiring young people to think differently and think outside the box and perhaps think self-employment. We're getting better now. And that's the reason why we really want to be part of this, because we know it's the way forward and it's their future. So no straitjackets. I think it's about sleeves rolled up and thinking differently and bringing a different mindset and making the college more open to those entrepreneurs to come and work with us. So it's up to us.
Mm-hmm. And what about local authority schools, Nick? Do you think that the council will be relaxed about schools saying, well, you know, this has been great getting involved in this particular project, but we want more of it and we want to create almost courses where kids can start to learn about business at a much earlier age?
Well, I think the schools programme, and it is starting off in primary schools, which is hugely important, has been a massive success, and it's engaged so many young people across the city. And their parents and grandparents and their communities and the teachers. So it's been a fantastic start. We need to continue building on that. I think what Elaine was saying is absolutely right. Young people that I speak to don't aspire to have a job for life anymore, but we still look around education and careers advice about, you're going to be, in whatever job, and you've got a certain career path as part of that. Young people don't aspire to that. Young people, they're going to have 9 or 10 different jobs, different careers. They're going to take, retrain, reskill at different times in the working life. That's what they aspire to. And I think we need to take account of that much more. And I think we can all play a role in that, schools, colleges, local authorities, employers, to try and get that kind of ethos within the educational system. One of the things that really came out of last week with meeting with Kaufman was around, if you look at the barriers to entrepreneurship, the barriers to people actually starting up their own businesses, it isn't access to finance, it isn't necessarily regulation, and we focus too much in policy terms on those. It's actually confidence. It's saying, I can do this. And something like 50% of people in the UK want to set up a business, have got a business idea, only 5% ever do. And that's a real, amongst those,
it's an incredible 45% statistic, that wasn't
it? It is. I mean, amongst those 45%, there's all kinds of innovation, there's all kinds of ideas, new ways of thinking, new products, new types of services that no one will ever get to know about because people just haven't had the confidence or haven't had, didn't think they could do it, didn't think it was for them. And that really is something that has to come out of GEC, and I think we can all do much more on that. Mm.
And you obviously do adult education as well, Elaine. Are there people who are coming to retrain, reskill, who actually do express an interest in starting their own business?
Yeah, absolutely. And more these days. And one of the things that we're trying to do is to develop this some online material, because that's really important, which is two aspects to it, really. One is so that you can look about, have you got the aptitude? Because I do think aptitude for this is really important. And secondly, some people just don't have the basic knowledge about what it's like to have run your own business and the basic things that you need to do. So we've got some online material that we're trying to put all of our students through. And then from that, get them to work together in pairs, in groups, as individuals around new ideas and new businesses, and then to showcase that. But our adults are just as interested, if not more so, because many of them recognise that they're coming back probably because, as Nick said, the traditional skills that they've got or the job they've been in, they know they need to look at something different. And also we're finding now that a lot of people have actually taken redundancy, have got some money, and are thinking, OK, I'll start my own business.
How can we invest
in? How can we do this?
Absolutely.
So it's a good opportunity.
It's fascinating subject, and there are some great opportunities and potential. Stay with us after the break. We'll be telling you a little bit more about GEC and more about the work of Liverpool Community College.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. City Talk 105.9.
Well, good morning to you all. Welcome back to the final part of our programme. And in the studio today, I have Councillor Nick Small, who's the Cabinet Member on Liverpool City Council for Employment, Training and Skills, and the Principal of Liverpool Community College, Elaine Bowker. Elaine, I know that you've really not long been in post the college. And I think one of the things that surprised me is, as you and I have had conversations over the past 6 months or so, and you've been trying to reach out and engage more with the private sector, is the amount of fantastic work that the college undertakes. You know, first of all, the breadth of the courses that you undertake is just mind-blowing. But secondly, the quality of that work, because as I understand it, the college is one of not many in the country that have got have been awarded outstanding status on two separate occasions.
That's right. We're really proud of the college, proud of what it does, and proud of the way that it does that. So, yes, we have got outstanding status, and we've had that now twice, which is what's unusual. And one of the only general further education colleges on Greater Merseyside with that. So I think it's not just the quality of what we do, but it's the breadth of what we do. And we haven't lost our roots and why we were at first set up, which was to work in the community. So we do an awful lot of work across the city. We've got 6 main sites and also 13 drop-in centres throughout the city. And I was out last week in one of the drop-in centres at Dovecot and speaking to what were actually young women with children, and they said, you know, if it wasn't for that drop-in centre, they would not come to college. It's expensive to keep those drop-in centres going. We're one of only 2 colleges nationally that invests in community adult education, and most other colleges have now withdrawn from that. But recently there's been a report published about colleges in their communities, and that report seems to suggest that more colleges should be doing what we're doing. So we're probably famous for our work with 16 to 18-year-olds, and, you know, almost 60% of every 16 to 18-year-old in the city is probably in the college at any one time. And that's, you know, an awful lot of students. And we have adults that return to us. We have adults that are thinking about education because perhaps first time round it wasn't a positive experience. And the feedback we get is fantastic because it's often close to where they live. We have good childcare facilities. And then many of them will progress. And listening to their stories on at the end of year, when you meet students who say, you know, I left school, didn't have any qualifications, clearly very bright and capable individuals, come back, get their confidence restored, and then you're congratulating them because they're going off to one of the universities. And we send more students to Liverpool University than any other institution. And a good number as well to John Moores and to Hope.
And you do from A-levels right through to foundation degrees, is that right, in terms of the exams that are available for people to take?
Well, we do basic qualifications, basic skills. We do level 1, level 2, level 3, of which A-levels is part of, all the way through to foundation degrees. In fact, we do a full degree in social work.
And I suppose when you mention the funding challenges, one of the reasons why you're trying to develop partnerships with the private sector is so that you can become a bit more innovative in your approach,
yeah,
and that those partnerships can start to work for the general economy as well as the locally the local community. Because if you can start to match the skills up with what we need as businesses,
well,
then everyone's a winner, aren't they?
I've always believed this, and I say this in the college, that I think the college only exists really for two reasons. We're here to help promote social mobility for local people, and we're here to also support economic growth. That's the primary reason why we exist. So if we don't work with business and help them, and the key reason that business, what businesses tell me all the time is one of their biggest issues is skills, mm-hmm, and recruitment and finding the right people with the right skills. So we want to work with business because we feel that if we do, we can make a contribution to this city. And it's you'll only do that if you really work with business and understand what their needs are. And you can't do that by offering them traditional courses. So you've got to be responsive, flexible, and you've got to deliver when they want it. And a lot of what we do, you know, is working on the night shift. So it might be working through the night because that's what an employer wants. That's when their employees are available. And one of our latest developments, as you well know, Frank, is the development of the University Technical College, which is around the superport and low-carbon economy, which, if all of that is successful, there'll be thousands of jobs. And if we don't deliver the skills, then local people won't be able to access those jobs.
And that is a tremendously important bid, Nick, as far as the city's concerned. I know the council are right behind it, and the Liverpool MPs are as well. What's your gut instinct on that? Do you think we've got a good chance of winning that bid?
I think we've got a compelling case, and I think, you know, the opportunities, the scale of opportunities that we've got in Liverpool around low carbon, around superport, but in other areas, I mean, we already know we've got a UTC around life sciences at North Liverpool Academy, are one of the sponsors of. It's absolutely, you know, right that we should get, you know, both the UTCs in Liverpool. We've made a very, very strong case. The council, it's exactly where we want to be as a city, and, you know, we've backed this all the way.
Mm. And I know you sit on the community college as a governor, so you will be aware, mm-hmm, of the stuff that goes on there. But you sort of see where I'm coming from when I say to you, a lot of the business community don't really understand and appreciate. And can I also say one other thing, which might be a little bit controversial, but the word community has all sorts of connotations that don't necessarily see the business world think, oh, Liverpool Community, mm-hmm, College, that's the place for us to go. Don't ask me why, but that word community just doesn't send out that dynamic, you know, can-do approach that we need from our community, from our college.
Well, I mean, I've been involved with the college now about getting on for 18 months, and, you know, I knew the great work the college did, you know, and the life chances, and, you know, the many people have had, you know, the lives changed by their experience at Liverpool Community College. But you know, I see where you're coming from around, you know, there's new challenges coming forward, and I think the college needs to meet those challenges. I think, you know, Elaine's appointment has been fantastic. I've worked very closely with Elaine over the past, how long it is now?
Six months,
it seems. It does seem longer than that because the pace of change on it. You know, Elaine was a fantastic appointment, and I think, you know, those issues around, you know, the governors are acutely aware around, you know, we need to be positioning the college in a different way. The University Technical College bid has been good in itself to build some of those links. But, you know, I want the college to be, you know, an integral part of the city's DNA, you know, a real partner with the rest of the city to drive, you know, our ambition forward.
And I think if you're looking for an entrepreneurial approach, then you've got the right principle, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as I say, some people will say, well, what does it matter what something is called? But, you know, people spend hours upon end looking at branding and looking at marketing and what's going to sell and what's easy to sell. And, you know, the community college took part in Downtown Liverpool's conference towards the back end of last year. And we had people who, well-established businesses in the city, coming to us saying, what are the community college doing here? Mm. And we took them over to the exhibition stand, and it was explained to them. They were amazed by what you do. And I think we've just got to push that message. And maybe I'm making too much. What's in a name, some people might say. But I think it's an issue anyway. Listen, moving on to something else. What's in a name? What's in an elected mayor? This is something that we're going to take a more detailed look at next week. But as I've got you here today, Nick, I can't pass the opportunity to ask you what you think an elected mayor may or may not do for Liverpool. You know, the city, we're told, may well be offered the opportunity of having an elected mayor for the city. I think a lot of people in and around the business world and the political world of Liverpool would have suggested a city region mayor may have been preferable, but I don't think that's necessarily going to be on the table. What's your take on where that debate is up to at the moment?
Well, I don't think a city region mayor is on the table. I think, you know, there's not the legal framework in place to make that happen. It's an open secret. I've, you know, been supportive of a mayoral model. I think it will give Liverpool the ability to, you know, to sit at the top table with cabinet ministers, with business people, with investors, and actually have that accountability. I think it's important in relative terms, in terms of, you know, Liverpool's power in relation to other core cities. If cities like Birmingham or Leeds or Bristol go ahead with an elected mayor, and I think, you know, some of those cities almost certainly will, you know, Liverpool's power could be diminished if, you know, we don't also have that model, and we don't also have that. The key factor, I think, in this is what are the government offering in terms of, you know, the city deals. The government have spoken. I think, you know, it's probably, you know, the one thing this government have said that I completely agree with, and, you know, I will, you know, say they've done absolutely the right thing on this. They recognise that cities will drive economic growth. They've asked cities individually to come back to have a conversation with them about what extra powers can they have. So there'll be, you know, different interventions in Manchester or Birmingham than there will be in Liverpool. I think the economic recovery is going to be made in Liverpool. We need some of those powers to be able to harness that here in Liverpool. So, you know, I think that's where the debate's going around, you know, the powers. What can we do for the good of the city, you know, if we adopt another model? It's not about personalities. It's not about, you know, the name of, you know, is it a mayor or a leader? None of that matters. What matters, I think, is around the powers that we get to, you know, to take some of this forward.
If we have the devolved power that, you know, responsibilities that people like Boris Johnson, for example, have. Now, OK, he has got that sort of city-regionary bit, but nonetheless, you know, that sort of individual who can drive agendas must be something that would be an advantage to our city.
I think we need to be looking at the policies that we need in Liverpool. It's things like you know, the welfare to work, it's things like regeneration powers, it's housing, it's education. What are those powers that we need? We're going through that process at the moment and having that dialogue with government, led by, you know, Joe Anderson. Joe's been, you know, a visionary in this, in terms of, you know, identifying those issues, in terms of, you know, taking some of these the big issues, being able to see those big issues that the city faces, not just now but in 5, 10, 20 years' time. And looking for solutions on that.
And Elaine, as somebody who I know has worked Manchester as well as Liverpool, we spoke before the programme started about the fact that, you know, as a city region, Manchester just seems to have this ability to work. They call it the Manchester family, and they operate like a family in many respects, don't they? Kick each other to death privately, but publicly it all works very well indeed. And Manchester is just seen as the brand, and that we still don't seem to have cracked that here. It's better, but we still don't seem to have absolutely got there with some of our other local authority partners.
No, and I think in Manchester there is an acceptance that actually the name Manchester is beneficial to the rest of the city region, and that Manchester will drive growth, but that growth will be beneficial to all.
Mm.
And that's accepted, it's understood. And I think they do work as one, and that's the difference.
Yeah.
You know, we don't always agree when I was there, you know, but it takes place. There's discussion, but there's a sense of maturity about it.
Mm.
I think that's growing here in this city, though.
Yeah.
Definitely growing. You know, and I think this new leadership and administration is definitely becoming a much more business-friendly city and lots of other things, and people are acknowledging that. Mm. But I think, you know, that maturity makes a difference.
Mm. And I think things like the GEC will obviously help, and lots of other initiatives that will be taking place over the next 12 months that we will, of course, be featuring on City Talks Business in the future. But that's it from me, Frank McKenna, for another week. Thanks to my guests, Elaine Bowker, to Nick Small and to Max Steinberg. By the way, if you want further details of the GEC, either contact Liverpool Vision directly or come through to downtownliverpool.com. All the details of what's happening in March will be on our website. Final thank you to my producer, Jonathan Dean, and of course, most of all, thank you for listening. Have a great week, and don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. City Talk 105.9. Listen and log on to great music and great conversation on City Talk 105.9.